Babylon, a good, a good, a good Babylon, that a go down a room and a Jew and stone to the hit over.
Grandmaster Melly Bell.
And this is Scorpio, show no shame.
And I'm Dynamite, the hypest man in the business.
And if you got ears, listen to 90.3 CKUT.
CKUT
Radio.
Radio.
Sound waves in the air.
CKUT.
Montreal, Canada.
CKUT.
What's the matter? Is everything all right? That's okay.
CKUT
Radio.
Radio.
Sound waves in the air.
CKUT.
Montreal, Canada.
CKUT.
It's time to take sampling to a whole new level. Pleasant good afternoon to you, Montreal. Welcome to West Indian Rivers. My name is Howard Carr. And the co-host of the show,
Faith Sanka.
And along with the rest of the crew,
DJ Nicholas.
Special guest DJ. Welcome to West Indian Rhythms. On CKUT 90.3 FM, People's Station.
Bum 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 b
shining star upon the highest bough. And have yourself a merry little Christmas now.
How are you doing, Montreal? Welcome to another week of West Indian Rhythms. And this one is a tough one because we lost a stalwart in the promotion of reggae. And just an all-out community person, Miss Denise Jones, Mrs. Denise Jones, as a matter of fact. Known that lady since I came to Toronto. And she had all the drive to make a great community person. Along with another gentleman who also left us, I think, 2 years ago. His name is Carl Mullins. They ran things in Toronto. She has left us, but I was told, you know, she was a bit sick for a while, so maybe she's in a better place, no pain. So, let me welcome you to West Indian Rhythms on a beautiful Saturday afternoon. Snow all about the place. Just going to touch on this a little bit, right? There's an article in the Gazette. About CJD not being not afraid to adapt. Only thing they won't adapt to more people of color on that station. I'd love to see that, but then again, I don't know why not. And they have the picture of one of my favorite commentator. Her, she got mad and moved, got fed up or whatever the story was, and moved to Australia. I've often wondered what she's doing. Her name is Melanie King. In 1996, I think she left, and I was disappointed because, not because she was a woman, but because she was so articulate. In those days, CJD had some of the best broadcasters you could find. So next week, I'm going to look into this more, and we'll see, all right? CJD, not afraid to adapt. The morning man before was a guy named George Balkan. When George said it's raining outside, take a peek, it could be snowing. Or when he said it was 8:45, it could be 7:45. But we all took it in stride because he was a human being like all of us. Eighteen minutes past the hour. There's a young man that I know, and he wants to give a gift to a single mom. And all because of something that happened to him a couple of years ago as a young man. Said there was this lady in the pannier, and she was buying some things, and when she got to the cashier, it was a bit too much, and she didn't have the money. And he didn't take... You know, he didn't think of it then, and when he realized she was gone and half of the stuff was back on the counter, and he said, my God, I could have paid for that for her. I've been in a position like that, but I didn't hesitate. You know, it was two bread, a tin of sardi, whatever it was. And he said he hesitated, so he ran outside, and she had gone. And he said, this has haunted me for years. I wish I had reacted faster. He says, given the messed up year, I want to do something for someone I know, Stretch. I do give to some charities like Sun Youth and the Gazette, but it's very important. It is very impersonal experience, and I totally agree with that. Because when I worked at CN, if you see the amount of... thing that we were giving our $5 to, each pay was like $30, $35, but it was worthwhile. But you never felt it, you know, you never felt it. So he's reaching out because I thought you might know someone that needs a little help, which everybody I know needs a little help, but he's looking specifically for a single mom. He says, while I don't need to meet the person if they want to remain confidential, it would please me to have the personal link through you at least. My only criteria is that I want to help a single mom. There are two things I want to do for those I want to do for two people. One, I will provide some cash for them to buy some groceries for their holidays and a treat of some kind for the child. Then he goes on to say, I have an almost brand new Samsung tablet that I don't use and don't need. It comes with a case and keyboard, and I'm sure there's someone in the community that would benefit from it. Let me know your thoughts. Well, I just got this yesterday, so I didn't get a chance to talk to him yet. So I'm going to organize how you can do that. Maybe you can phone him or call me, and I will set you up with this person. Got to be a single mom, though, because it's not easy, and a lot of people, they're not working and all sort of things. So he wants to get, I won't give out his name, so. At 20 minutes to, after I'm finished talking with Brother Ted, I'll be speaking to a gentleman that I totally admire. His name is Salah Wilson, and he has something special he wants to tell us. And I have admired him and his whole family, to be honest with you, how they did what they did. So that will be about 20 minutes to the hour of 5 o'clock. 4:22 in the afternoon, I want to acknowledge this man, because I had the pleasure of being in the audience at the Edgewater Club many years ago. And he was on the stage just before we went on to do our craziness. His name is Andre Gagnon. And he passed on yesterday. So, Denise, you have good company up there, girl. Fingers of Andre Gagnon left us at the tender age of 84. He had a hit song in the 70s, 80s, a disco piece, and it was all over the world. Rest in peace, Andre. You made me dance. That's not easy to do. Also in the Gazette on Monday, Laval police ordered to pay $13,000 in racial profiling case. Predel Content, an English-speaking black man, has won a second legal victory over police officers in Laval. Content's first racial profiling complaint against the city and two police officers was upheld last month by the Quebec Human Rights and Youth Rights Commission. The commission also asked for $24,000 in damages from the city and the two police officers. The complaint stems from an incident in July 2018. Content was chatting with his neighbors around 10:30 p.m. in front of his residence in Laval when a police car drove by and made a U-turn in front of the building. Content, who has being stopped on numerous occasions, took out his cell phone to film the intervention. Officers Kevin Lanois and Philip Belliste asked him in French if he had a problem with his phone. Content told them that he was recording to protect his human rights. And the officers use a sarcastic tone to mock him. As the officers were driving away, Content said, "Bitch, oops." Out of exasperation, I guess. A week later, he received a ticket in the mail, a $77 ticket for having insulted a police officer. Oh, girls, come on. He contested the ticket and sought help from the Research Action on Race Relations in filing a civil rights complaint and a police ethnic complaint against the officers. Went on, and last month, the police ethics commissioner cited both officers for abuse of authority. So he ended up with $13,000. I don't know. I like the American system. That would have been $500,000 or something. $13,000, waste of time. But he won anyway. And I hope that, you know what they should start doing, and I hope they do, is to take the money out of the policeman's salary. They would think twice before they do what they're doing. I'm pretty sure of it, you know. So, that is what is up with me. And you and everybody else. It's 4:27. Taking us up to 4:30 when I get to talk to my friend. I would love to play a song just for you people. Where did that song disappear to? I said I would play this for my friend in Toronto did this song, and it's one of the best recordings of this song I've heard in my life. Tony Anthony, your friend. And my friend, we're all friends. This is Tony Anthony standing tall in the hearts of lovers and others.
When every day is a crazy day and nothing is going your way, and the thought of giving up is on your mind, when you feel all hope is gone and this life isn't what you want, I'll be your angel, I'll be your friend, I'll be your rock till the end. When there's nowhere to turn from all the bridges that you burn, and everything lesson learned, but when you had it your way, you let it all slip away. I'll be your angel, I'll be your friend, I'll be your rock until the end, till the end.
till the end. And even then, I'll still be your friend. Ah, I'm telling you. Tony Anthony, don't forget that name. One of our finest singers in Canada. On the line with me, of course, one of our articulate young men in the community. He's here to tell us something about the rest of the Caribbean. Brother Ted, you there?
Good evening, Mr. Carr. It's so good to hear your voice once more. It's a pleasure to be on CQUT Montreal, 90.3 FM in Montreal. However, I have to deviate a little bit this weekend, because when you started the program earlier this evening, you talk about this gentleman that's trying to reach out to do something special for a single mom. And I wish to commend this gentleman that is willing to give back to the community and specifically to a single mother. I'm certain that the recipient will be very pleased with the generosity of this goodly gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
Also, because we are community radio station, excuse me, and this gives us a platform to talk amongst ourselves and to the greater world. I'm certain that there are many individuals in Montreal and the surrounding areas that would like to reach out to others in a similar situation. What do you think, Mr. Carr?
Yes, you're totally right. There are others who would like to do that, and they can use any of the programs on CKUT, for that type of thing. Just call in the program and explain your position to them, and they will put it out there for you.
Yes, I'm so happy that you've given us this opportunity. Thank you so very much for this. However, I'm going to keep it short this week. You know, in the Caribbean right now, China is in every country of the Caribbean.
Oh, yeah.
With assistance, loans, concessionary loans at very low rates. The first 5-10 years, you do not start to repay. And then when you do start to pay, it's maybe 0.5% or 0.5%. It's very low rates, long terms. However, United States of America and United Kingdom has been concerned of the impact, the influence of China in the Caribbean. And so they have started to move back to the Caribbean in small increments. But Grenada right now is the recipient of nearly $10 million, $6 million U.S. for two projects, and another close to 4 million pounds from the British for another project. I think we're going to see more of this in the year 2021 as they try to reassert themselves in the Caribbean.
They're getting jealous.
It's a good thing for us.
Sure it is, but are they getting jealous?
Yes, they are. They're a little concerned. Remember, all these small island states, St. Lucia, St. Vincent, Dominica, we are all part of the United Nations, and we each have a vote. And when we vote as a bloc, and you talk of the Caribbean, you're talking about 60 votes right off the top.
Yep.
It's considered the election that we just saw in United States of America a few weeks ago. With the electoral votes, once our president-elect got to 270 or 271, he is the next president.
Right.
His electoral vote. So similarly, in the United Nations, if 193 countries are voting and you have a block of Caribbean nations all voting in one direction, the 63-65 votes, now you have a magnificent start. So they have to re-engage with us, which is to all our benefit.
Good.
And it is always a pleasure talking to you, sir, and I'm going to sit back now and wait for your next guest, who I expect is going to be something fantastic. Yeah. So at this time, I'd like to wish you and the family all the best for the weekend, and have a great one.
Sorry you had to leave us so early. You had another 3 minutes. Oh, hello. So,
Are you still with me?
Yes, I think my thing is running low on the battery. So what I am going to do, I'm going to play a music here. And then, sorry about that also, I'll recharge my...
Yes.
this thing, everything is recharge this, recharge that. So I'm going to recharge something good. Here.
I think, as we said, we're losing some power, some juice in this line.
Yes, 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 we are. We are losing some power.
Before I lose it completely, I'd like to say this is Theodore Blaze.
There we go.
Have a fantastic weekend. Best to you.
All right, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye for now.
Bye-bye. Folks, bear with me because this thing wasn't plugged in. Now I'm looking for the plug. Nowhere. So let me just play some music here. I'll play this. This is what I was going to use to bring on my guest.
Radio.
Sound waves in the air.
CKUT.
Montreal, Canada.
Sorry about I'm telling you, it never rains, but it pours. So, I'm going to talk to this gentleman shortly. Just let me look a plug in here for this thing here. Music you're hearing, of course, was played by the gentleman that I'm about to talk to again. And sorry for this messed up here, Salah. You there?
Yes, I'm right here. Hi, Seth.
Hello, my brother. How are you?
I'm fine. How you doing?
Good. I wanted to open this interview. Now, where's my glasses? I'm telling you, it's a crazy afternoon, one of those afternoons. But anyway, let me guess here and read. 1973, arrived in Montreal with his wife and a chrome Alto Pan. I love that. I came to Canada just two long arms. Active participant with the community steel band for the first Montreal Carnival. Muhammad Ali was guest of honor.
Correct.
Tell me about that.
Well, this was Montreal was now, Toronto had already started their caravan in 1967. So actually, we in Montreal here were like 7 years behind. But then we came up with that first Carnival weekend with a parade and a big show, and we had Muhammad Ali as the guest of honor. You know, my wife and I, we have pictures of him.
Yeah?
And this was just before him going to fight former in Africa. So
wow.
It was a big deal. And, you know, this was, needless to say, this was the best Carnival that we had in Montreal.
Mm. Where did it go?
It started at Water, and it went to Parc La Fontaine. And you must give credit to Leroy Butcher.
Yes.
For the man behind it, you know. And he was one of the people involved with, since the George Williams University, the computer program, you know, and that got a big uproar all over the world.
Right, right.
So they formed this organization, the Black Community Development Project, BCDP. And Butcher was the helm. It was at the helm. And they formed the first community steel band. I was part of that. It was part of what made the parade. But in addition to that, it was also 1974, the year of the baseman. So Shadow, I think Crazy, and of course, Power was there. And there was a big ball, and Muhammad Ali, guest of honor. So it was a great event. It was like, you know, people were really... But there's a lot to say about that, too, because there's a lot of political stuff behind it and economic stuff. You know, people ought to know what was going on there. It's very, very interesting. But Muhammad Ali was indeed.
Wow. Wow, wow.
We have never gotten back to that level.
I don't think.
No. We have not. Unfortunately.
But you, you know, pronounce your wife's name for me. I don't want to mess it up, okay?
Adila.
That's what I thought.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I totally admire your wife and your kids because, boy, you have a family there that a lot of people would wish to have. Because I used to watch them whenever you played anything, they'd grab up them pants like nothing and they'd be off, or they'd bring them in, put them up, that's a family.
Don't forget, you came in our basement and we did some rehearsals.
Oh, you mean? I could never, till the day I die, forget that, brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I came there, I sat with you guys trying. Oh, yes. And I'm a big fan of yours. I'm a very big fan of yours.
I'm also a great fan of yours. You've been on, you know, doing this community service. You know, you can't even count how many decades we're going to talk about. So, great job.
Yes. But, you know, in 19, tell me your first steel band that you steel band orchestra that you put together.
Well, I came here in 73, and like I said, 1974 was the first Carnival. And then when I came as a young guy with a double second, a chrome Alto Pan, this was kind of rare because as growing up in Trinidad, no one had a steel band, no individual. It was a community thing, you know.
Right.
You have to be in a pioneer to be part of that. So this was a good move, but somehow I just figured, well, I'm coming abroad, I need to have my instrument. I'm coming with my wife, I need to get my instrument with me. So I came with it, and that's it. And my wife has stayed with me since then, and you mentioned my kids, six children, and now 11 grandchildren.
Wow!
I'm very proud that many of them are now going into the university at a young age. They're not going to wait until as their father or grandfather. They're already into it, so I'm very pleased with that. So we keep working on that, you know. But I went out Vancouver in 75, and I met some, played with some other groups there, and then I decided, since I had a few bands already, I decided to get some more. So I played in two groups, which was something not being done at that time, with Peter Pan rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
But I was able to play in two groups, one where I was living and helping out, and the other where there was a pan tuner. So I saw him making some basses and some other instruments for me. When I got these, I then decided, I was 6 months in Vancouver, and then I went to Edmonton. And there I formed my first group with, you know, just five people. And it was called Pan Vibes Exhibit. We went to Grant McEwen Community College for a little bit of time. And we started playing in the universities and, you know, coffee shops. Turned out to be pretty good.
Mm.
So this was that. And this was 75. And we came back to Montreal with this same group in 1976 for the Olympics. And not much was happening. Except in Côte d'Ivoire, Edmond Charles had a little group there. And apart from that, there was only Trinidad Playboys at that time.
Okay.
So that was the Stéphane scenario at that time, 76, for the World Cup.
Yeah. You insisted on spreading the wealth of the pan throughout North America, in Canada, mostly in Canada. I'm still wondering why. Why not just say, you know.
Well, I don't know. I just came up here. I thought, I grew up in a steel band in my backyard. So I thought, you know, everyone in my family and loved it and liked it the way I did. Unfortunately, not so. But that's how it is. When I think about it, you know, and doing research, I found that my grandfather was the town fiddler.
Oh.
You know, he had his own group. You know, when I did more research, I found him in my grandmother's. My place where that steel band was like the village where it was the village carnival group that would come from there also. So there's a lot of culture behind it. So I guess it somehow just passed on down to me in that sense. So, and to know that, you know, I just love the steel band. So coming here for me was just steel band development and steel band promotion all the time, wherever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and that's the story.
That's the story. That was when is the book coming out? Because this should be something very enjoyable.
Well, you know, a lot of people take their dissertation, their thesis, and they turn it into a publication. I intend to do this because of the information. I think it's very relevant to not only here in North America, but also in Trinidad and the Caribbean, you know, and I because it's a sort of a comparative analysis. It's based on steel pan development of and the uncharted growth and development of the steel pan in North America, and what impact this puts into the pan movement in its place of origin, Trinidad and the Caribbean. So it's a sort of a comparative analysis, and it's good information because it's research work, and it could, you know, it's all about steel pan promotion and development. So there's some benefits for Trinidad and the Caribbean, likewise for North America, for Canada, you know, and things like that. So yes, we intend to make it into a publication.
Nice,
yeah.
Because I know you had done something already. You published Steel Pan Tech's book, Steel Pan, Playing with Theory.
We did this because, again, all of it was all part of the development, and, you know, there were no Steel Pan texts around. So it was necessary to promote something like that. So being involved with it, you know, we grew up learning to play by ear, by rote.
Right.
And nothing is wrong with that. I promote that still. It's all good. But, you know, it's... Learning to read and write now enhances whatever you do. It's, you know, it's not the best of analogy, but like you can speak English, but if you can't read and write, you know, there could be some problem.
Yes.
So if you approach it in that way, you realize that, well, why don't I become equipped with learning to read and write, become literate in music? So it's a plus.
Yes, it is a plus.
Yeah, yeah. So I wrote a book on that, and, you know, being used in the public schools of Trinidad, and I have recently upgraded the book and really updated and upgraded it such that I've added a historic highlight as a content, you know, over the decades of steel pan development. So
So this is a very historic part that I've added to it now as an additional part of the text. And I've, you know, redone it to, you know, whatever was redundant or so, I've just improved on the book. So that will be released also within this coming year. Mm-hmm. Also, it will be available in ebook format. As you know, get it with the time.
Yes, sir. Ebook, here we come.
Yes.
But another proud moment of the of Salah and family Steel Pan Orchestra was playing at the Jazz Festival. What was that all about? What was it like?
It's a long story that would take up a whole discussion that I won't want to really get into.
Okay.
But I had you know, I just went to school. I went to university in 1992 to 1995 in a jazz program, taking my steel pan there. So that was the first time we've doing something like that, taking a steel pan to do a music program in Canada, in period.
Mm-hmm.
So coming out of that and that jazz experience, you know, I had my family group. We just did an album, a recording, and we had it. At that time, it was cassette, but I also had a CD made with it. And I know that the Jazz Festival, this was one of the requirements. So I sent in my CD there in 95. And, I'm looking forward, you know, to get the gig. And, it didn't happen. I won't get too much into it. Another group got the gig. Whatever. And that was in 96. But anyways, I happened to get the gig in 1997. So my family group went in there and we did our show. And it was like, you know, best bet for a few times. And, you know, and I still have a recording of it. So that was pretty good. So that was good for Steel Pan because Steel Pan getting into the jazz festival. And, you know, that's a big thing. And I think we need to get going into that some more, you know.
So yes, of course.
Get bands at that level that you could go and perform and do a great show at the Montreal International Jazz Festival. So this is some of the things that is there for us to do. And we could do it because we've done it before. So it's something to encourage in part of the whole Steel Pan Development Program.
I see we're in 2007 to 2010. You won four consecutive Panorama competition in Toronto. What was that like? I mean, after a while, people must have been saying, oh, this is a setup.
Well, again, you know, we were there. First of all, we're a very small group compared to the other groups. We sometimes get up to 30, 32, 30 players, and they have groups with twice that amount, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was always then that a small band cannot win against the bigger band, you know. And we proved them wrong once, twice, three times, four times. Wow. And that actually sent them back to the drawing board, and where it shows them not only size, but not quantity, but quality matters.
Right.
So and that's been part of it. So, but it's good, you know. As a matter of fact, we won the first Panorama competition in Toronto, thereby the first Panorama competition in Canada, and this was in 1995. Because that was the first one that when it first started. So, and we did that with just Salah and family, the same little group, six of us.
Good. Speaking of six, you have 6 minutes to tell us this. One of the main reasons why I invited you here now, I can't just say, Salah, what's up? I have to say, doctor. And I am very, very, very extremely proud of you in your PhD in musicology. And pronounce the other big word there for me.
Ethnomusicology.
Yes. And you have to tell me, what is that all about? Your doctorate was given to you for those two subjects. What is it all about, Salah?
Well, in a nutshell, you know, it's all in one. It depends on, now there's a whole lot of, I won't get into it all details because of, in today's world, there's a lot of changes. And what is ethnomusicology to some people would just be musicology to another. So that's a whole different take on that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all basically the same. And it's the ethno part of it deals with music then that would refer to, like, you know, basically all of the other music that was not concentrated on Western art music. So you find that researchers would go into all parts, into the Amazon, into different parts of Africa, into different in the Caribbean and all parts, and find out the music from and cultures from different people that exist, and not just what we might call classical music or, you know, Western type music. So that's what it basically, the origins of it was to get into that concept and produce that. But it has a lot more meaning towards it. But it's also full of course, what we know as regular music. That's musicology that we all play and we all entertain and enjoy. So it's general music in essence.
Right. This took you 2012 to 2020.
Yes. It's from 2008. I left Montreal in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Toronto. I've been living there on campus for 8 years.
Wow.
And I did my master's and then the PhD. So it's a full 8-year program. But it was very intense, but it's very enjoyable because for me, from day one, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. What I wanted to do was the same steel pan development. So all of my work was actually geared towards that. So when I actually got to the end point, I practically had all my stuff. It was just taking all the different parts and pieces together and putting it into one complete text.
Mm.
So, you know, for me, it was just actually easy. Of course, I learned a lot of different things because you're in a university, so you get a rounded education of so many different things. It's just amazing that the journey in itself, the knowledge, the information that is presented, and you absorb as a sponge. At my age, there was a whole different set of factors, too, because I'm in there with, I call them kids. Some of them my children's age, and some of them my grandchildren's age.
Right.
You know, I find myself sometimes I'm elder than many of the professors. But it was a lot of fun. But for me, there are quite a few things with it. Like when I went there at age 60.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I didn't know about free education in Toronto, because I understand in Montreal, when you're at 65, you're entitled, as a senior to get free education.
Right.
But I went, nevertheless, at age 16 to Toronto because I just wanted to get going with it. And then in Toronto, however, at age 60, you were given free education. So that was a double bonus for me. So that encouraged me, well, I'm going to see it till the end. But what I did, I encouraged a lot of guys my age and people my age, so some women got involved, and they're presently in school there too. Some are doing their first degree, some are doing their master's, and, you know, some want to move on to their PhD too. So that has been a good thing for that community that has been living with there in Toronto for the last 8 years.
Man. And the beauty about it, the wife was there at all times, boy. 47
yes.
years.
But you can't make it without, you know, my faith of what I believe in, you know, my religious faith and also my family. My wife has been there all the time. You know, it wouldn't happen without that, you know.
Yes.
But it's a tough thing, especially at this age, at any age, you know. But if you have that kind of support, it certainly makes it a lot easier.
So, Dr. Sala Wilson, I congratulate you with all my heart. And
thank
soul,
you,
and I am totally proud of you to go that way, because I know it's not easy. I have a few in my family, and the stress, and I have one that's just writing his papers right now. I won't call his name, but it's not easy. And to see that you've been through this for 8 years in Toronto without the family per se living in with you, and it's not easy, and I congratulate you, you know.
Thank you. It's something too, like, you know, I would like to encourage, well, not just the younger people, most certainly the younger people, but I'd also like to encourage people my age, you know, hey, you know, if you think you can do this, go and do it.
Mm-hmm.
Go and
if
also, and then try to see what else you can contribute to society, because that's the whole idea now, you know.
Yes.
You know, you get the information now and you need to try to do something with it. You
is
know,
it...
and Montreal has always been, I've lived here most of my life.
Right.
So it's like, you know, Toronto has been my home for the last 8 years, but, you know, like I'm back home. So, hey, bonjour, Montreal. It's good to be back home. You
glad
know?
To have you back
so
home.
What's going on? So I'm gonna ask you, hey, Stretch, what's going on in Montreal, man?
Yes.
What's happening here? What's
yes.
been happening?
I remember the early years I would get a call like that. How is Montreal?
Yeah.
So congrats again, my friend. And
thanks.
Looking forward. So what are you going to do now? Teach music?
Well, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's there, you know. But like I said, I'm back here, you know, and I'd like to see. So I'm asking you, what's going on in Montreal? What's happening with the culture scene and the scene? But there's a lot to do.
Good.
And I would like to see what is best for our community in one sense. And I would like to see how best I could contribute
good.
To our community development in all aspects of culture. because that's what this ethnomusicology has covered, you know. So there's so many things that I see there, you know, and I would like to I'd like to push that to see how far, you know,